from KQED.
From KQED Arts, I'm Cy Musiker with The Duelist.
And I'm Tomas Riley, local arts administrator and general man about town.
And we're keeping our focus this week on fundraisers for fire victims and a chance to support wine country artists.
I believe art can help a community heal. I think for the most part, people will commemorate the occasion with whatever piece of art that they buy in remembrance of the victims of the fire and being able to help the community get stronger with their donations.
That's Kurt Barnacle, who's owner of Agent Inc. That's an art gallery in downtown Santa Rosa. And he's holding a benefit featuring work by Johnny Cupcakes. That's a Los Angeles t-shirt maker who's got a cult following. And that's on October 28th and Saturday. And Barnacle is also hosting a benefit on Saturday, November 11th, featuring 40 wine country artists.
The people that contacted me, the local artists, just blew my mind because there were so many of them that were willing to give for the cause.
I'm reminded of literary critic Homi Bhabha, who once said that out of every emergency, there's an emergence. And it's so appropriate now when artists confront a moment of destruction and offer creation as its counterbalance. Mm. And definitely pathways to healing can open up.
Also on the 28th and 29th, that's the second weekend for Art Trails Sonoma, where artists open their studios to visitors. And, you know, it's just a chance to support artists in the North Coast who may have suffered from the fires.
Absolutely. I think much needed funds is the key phrase there, because as much as artists create work for the joy of fulfilling a vision, there's another piece to that cycle in which the work is seen, appreciated, and ultimately purchased. That's a validation of the mutual regard that goes deeper than the transaction.
Yeah, and there's a couple of other events. The Flora Springs Winery will host a music festival for Napa Valley Fire Relief at the winery in St. Helena with five Bay Area bands and musicians, including Surf and James, who live in the Napa Valley, and the Petaluma band Miss Moonshine, one of whose members lost her house and another one lost his job. And here's another fundraiser. It's called Boo Barks, Brews and Bites, and it'll be in Jack London Square, and it's for you to bring your dogs. And it's an event benefiting Santa Rosa-based Canine Companion, which provides assistance dogs for people with disabilities, tomorrow, the 28th, in Jack London Square.
And next Friday, November 3rd, the Community Music Center in the Mission presents a benefit concert for victims of Hurricane Maria, the Mexico earthquakes, and the North Bay fires.
And now a welcome visit from some Russians. That's some very pretty music from Shostakovich from his Symphony No. 9, as played by the Mariinsky Orchestra, one of the many pieces they'll do while barnstorming the Bay Area. This is an orchestra led by Valery Gergiev, who conducted Prokofiev's War and Peace, based on the Tolstoy book, at San Francisco Opera back in 1991. It still sticks with me. It's one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. But more recently, you know, Gergiev has courted controversy with a lot of support for Vladimir Putin. And, you know, I guess it raises the question whether you support the artist or the art they make or care about their politics.
Yeah, I've never been a huge believer in the notion that politics stop at the art house door. This is something I carry with me. So personally, I'm more interested in how Gergiev's political integrity might inform an audience's response to the work, given that extra layer. As with any good Russian novel, the levels of intrigue get deep, and you don't have to like every character.
That's Valery Gergiev leading the Mariinsky Orchestra in concerts at Stanford's Bing Hall on Sunday, October 29th. And then he's at the Mondavi Center November 2nd, Weill Hall at Sonoma State and Rohnert Park on November 3rd, and at Cal Performances at UC Berkeley on November 4th.
That was a sample from the soundscape used a couple of years ago to score a performance by the Piñata Dance Collective led by Liz Duran-Boubian. And she's part of the 4th Annual Festival of Latin American Temporary Choreographers.
And Boubian is doing a piece that's a response to rape culture called Don't Grab. But really, all the work at this festival sounds like it will be a commentary on current American politics. There's a piece about the wall and migration.
Of the many ways to describe FLAC, I think the word contemporary stands front and center. As
yeah,
a
and that's the annual festival of Latin American contemporary choreographers. Yeah.
Right, and for people looking for a point of entry to the work, it places an immediate premium on the forces most current and relevant to the Latin American diaspora. And through that lens, lens, I think audience can get the best appreciation of the festival's focus on choreographers who are exploring movement strategies that reflect the political and cultural conditions under which the work is formed.
And the fourth annual Festival of Latin American Contemporary Choreographers runs November 10th through the 12th at Dance Mission Theater in San Francisco. Now, here's a really lovely community event delayed by all the smoke in the Bay Area, which made it too unhealthy to be outside. It's called the Life is Living Fest. It's at Oakland's Bobby Hutton Park, and it's a celebration of healthy living, I think.
Absolutely. Life is Living really hits all the notes for me when it comes to a festival that's dedicated to community empowerment through the arts. Now in its 10th year, the festival will swell to more than 5,000 in attendance, and you can experience multifaceted possibilities of all things urban. There's live music from the likes of John Santos and Rico Pavón, Los Racas, local MCs, and Kev Choice. It also features live theater and DJ sets and spoken word performances. And if the liveness of it all wasn't enough, the festival's organized into zones dedicated to kids zones, teen zones for the young and the young ones, and a resource fair with community service providers to really highlight and underscore the opportunity to participate in community building in a way that's appropriate to the location at Bobby Hutton Park in West Oakland.
The Life is Living Festival is tomorrow at Bobby Hutton, a.k.a. DeFremery Park, and it's free. So that's this really spacey music for a world premiere called Sight Unseen by choreographer Jess Curtis. And I got to talk to him earlier this week about his plans for a mini festival called Intercontinental Collaborations No. 7. So he's been doing this for a few years. Curtis says he's been focusing on ways to make dance more accessible, especially to people with physical disabilities or the blind.
I've been really interested in finding ways that allows people to experience dance performance, not just by looking at it, but by feeling it whooshing past you and describing what's happening in poetic ways.
I've had the opportunity to work with Jess and have always appreciated the generosity with which he shares, not only of himself, but of the stage itself. So fittingly, the International Collaborations No. 7 features three pieces, dancing at the intersections of place and sensory diversity, digital culture, gender, disability, and sexuality. It's everything that you expect from a Jess Curtis experience.
Yeah, he's a really thoughtful guy, and he just puts big ideas up on the stage and lets people figure out if it works for them. Jess Curtis's Gravity Dance Company presents Intercontinental Collaborations No. 7. That's Thursday, November 2nd through November 5th at Z Space in San Francisco. And we're going to go out with a bang. I'm turning it down a little bit. That's music from the Inkbats. They're an Oakland quartet featured on the first night of the West Coast Women's Dark Wave Festival. This is four nights featuring women and trans-led bands and DJs and also sound engineers and lighting techs, and there's a goth mall. We've talked about this before. It's so refreshing. Women as leaders of bands, we don't hear about that much.
Yeah, I'm excited to see women rockers given their due, and that the post-punk world is just so full of them. It makes me want to go grab my creepers.
The West Coast Women's Dark Wave Festival runs November 2nd through the 6th at the Uptown Nightclub, Hanging Garden, Eli's Mile High Club, and the Golden Bowl, and that's all in Oakland. And we'll go out with a little music from the legendary Portland band Arctic Flowers. They're also going to be playing at Dark Wave. And we have time for something extra. Tomas, what do you have?
I want to give a shout out to Diana Gameros, who will be performing at the Brava Theater Center to celebrate the release of her debut album, Arrullo, which means lullaby. And if you haven't heard Diana Gameros sing live, this is your chance to hear one of those beautiful voices in the Bay Area right now, or anywhere. It's not until November 12th, but I'm announcing it early because it should sell out, and you can get tickets at brava.org.
Yeah, and we love Diana Gameros, and I want to highlight La Ultima Parada. That's a celebration of life on the Day of the Dead in San Jose. This is a two-day festival at the School of Arts and Culture at the Mexican Heritage Plaza, Saturday and Sunday, October 28th and 29th, with music and lots of family-friendly activities. Thank you so much, Tomas Riley, for co-hosting the show. Great list.
Yeah, thanks, Si. It's been a pleasure to be here.
We post details on all the shows we mentioned at kqed.org/arts. And please, please, please sign up for our podcast. You'll always hear something cool that we can't fit on the air. I'm Si Musiker. Follow me on Twitter at CyrusKQED.